since Thursday, so I'm fine.
You're live.
I'd like to call the meeting of the Taney County Commission this Monday, February 24th, 2014, to order, and call on our county auditor, Rick Finley, although he is friendly, for an opening prayer. Rick?
Heavenly Father, we want to come before you this morning and again thank you for the blessings you give us. We just are amazed at how you pull blessings out for us. Thank you for all the relationships we have and things that you've given us, good jobs and workplace, and just pray that you just be with us and just continue to give us those things. Thank you most of all for your Son that you sent up on the cross, and we pray that we would be mindful of the duty that we have to share that with others, and pray that we just continue to do that. We pray that you would watch over those that are in harm's way, those that may need your healing hand, those that may need your comforting hand, that you just be with them. Again, just pray that you just give us guidance and wisdom as we go through this week. And these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Finley. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Note there was no public comment this morning. Are there any commission remarks before we begin the formal agenda? Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 338597 through 338656, warrants 5932, and a transfer from Road and Bridge. No, excuse me, to Road and Bridge from transfer station.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve checks number 338597 through 338656, warrant number 5932, and journal entry to Road and Bridge from transfer station. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Approval of payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. MoDOT monthly update. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm recovering from a nice weekend. I think I overworked myself. I got up this morning, like, everything's still working. Dug some holes and trimmed some trees and just got out and did what I could while it was nice. So.
Just last week, I asked Dan to take on another responsibility. He goes, my shoulder.
That's going to be my saying all week. Oh, I think I overworked it this weekend. I'm sorry. I just can't do that. I guess the most recent issue was we had our meeting over the Bull Shoals Bridge, 76 Bridge, here a couple weeks ago. That went really well. had a lot of people in attendance. I read in the paper about 250 people. I didn't get a head count. I just knew it was very crowded. Gave everybody a good opportunity to have a voice, and I thought the crowd was a good crowd, well-behaved crowd, gave everybody their chance to speak and everything, so I was very impressed with the community. And about halfway through the meeting, we came in knowing that the closing the bridge was probably not an option, but everybody was very vocal about that, and so about halfway through the meeting, we just came out and said, we'll be looking at a new alignment. And it looks like the first alignment we'll look at is to the east of the existing bridge. It seems to make the most sense. So we'll dig into that, and hopefully we don't run into any major roadblocks that would have to move it to the west. But the east seems to make the most sense. So some of the other things that came up in the meeting that basically weren't within the scope or the budget, but we said we would look at if the budget looks like it'll allow it, we'll consider it. But one of those was a walkway on the bridge. People were wanting to be able to have pedestrian traffic be able to go across the new bridge. And then the other issue was the three-way stop. And really that's unrelated to the need. The need was the bridge. So I don't know that we'll be entertaining that, but if it works out that somehow that would work into the budget and be the best solution, and still within the budget, we might be able to address that too, but I seriously doubt that at this point, because the budget's going to be very tight considering it was originally set up to replace the bridge, and now we're going to have to do a new alignment and additional earthwork and stuff to get on that alignment. So
regarding the pedestrian walkway, would that mean that you would narrow the amount of space that the vehicles have, or you would widen?
I think that normally we would have put together because this is a scoping budget. I mean, this is a very, bridge just took a look at how many feet of bridge, how wide's the deck, and they do kind of a square footage probably calculation, a real rough calculation on initially, because they haven't done any design yet. But we go back to past records and what a bridge normally costs. We didn't include a walkway in there, so it would actually include, I'm assuming, widening the bridge, because we wouldn't have had the bridge be overly wide to begin with for just the vehicle traffic, so I'm assuming that we'd have to widen. The other issue that came up was, what are we going to do with the old bridge? And we had several people express interest in keeping the old bridge for pedestrian traffic, and we basically told them that some type of public entity would have to step up to take over that bridge, because we won't keep it in our system. If it's not being, if there's not an entity that can take care of it, then it will be, our plans are to demolish it. So,
in the original scope or the original thinking about the project and the preliminary amount of money that I would assume was allocated for that or set aside in someone's mind, did that include demolition of the bridge?
Yes, because we were going to demo the bridge and replace it.
Okay.
So that was, but like I said, the additional costs are going to come from the fact that we're going to have to build roadway to get to the new bridge now, where before you just would have taken the bridge out, put the bridge back up.
Right.
So there's some additional costs in there.
When you say east, would that be somewhere aligning up with where Shadow Rock runs off, or would it be further east? Or
I'm not sure. We've got those big power lines right there.
Yes.
And, of course, then we do have the Shadow Rock entrance, so I'm assuming that even if it doesn't line up with it, that some effort would be made to bring that into, if we had to realign the Shadow Rock entrance, bring it all together at one point.
If I'm not mistaken, where the city of Forsyth discharge is for their sewer is somewhere just east of that
Okay,
bridge.
That's something to keep in mind too. I hadn't heard that discussed. So the city has, I think, some type of lease agreement with the Corps of Engineers to make that a park, and then of course we've got Empire Electric involved. So we've got the city, we've got Parklands, we've got the Corps of Engineers, and we've got Empire Electric. Those are all traditionally things that take a while to negotiate out, because Parkland is a very sensitive issue. And then the Corps of Engineers, you have to go through the federal layers to, get an agreement going there. So that's all going to create challenges, to say the least. Hopefully everything will go smoothly now that we've kind of chosen our preliminary alignment to look at, and we'll start digging in and seeing what will work best. So. But I thought the meeting went really well. I was really impressed with the public turnout, and like I said, everybody was allowed to. We had all different kinds of ideas, and there was debate over whether it was a good or bad idea, and everybody was, you know, got their say, I felt like, but everybody was polite. So I was very impressed with the community. I was very impressed. So I thought it was a good discussion. Beyond that, we've got a little bit of work coming up this summer, not a whole lot. We've got the 76 overlay, basically from Branson West all the way to Branson 65. That'll be happening this year. And then also the curves right there between 265 and the high road, 465, we'll be making that into one.
When do you estimate, you've probably told us before, that realignment will take place? Or the
I think it bids in May, and I haven't seen a completion date on it, but I would assume that the work could be completed within the season, possibly into the next year, but I think it's meant to be completed this year. Like I said, the impact, a lot of the new alignment will be off the roadway, so that'll be able to be done during the day, but once they start doing tie-ins and stuff, I imagine that'll probably all be night work because of the impact to tourism through there. So, but I think the from what I've heard, I think it bids in May. So
that's
so
right around the corner, isn't it?
I know, no. Yeah, that's unusual for us to bid something that late in the year. Lots of times we try to get the bids out earlier so we can get the contractors before they get busy, but sometimes it just happens with, you know, design and negotiations for right-of-way and stuff that we end up having something in the summer. So at least we've got a few projects that are strung out through the year. Most of our projects usually bid in the fall for the next year, so we have a huge letting that we usually let in the fall for overlays and bridges and things like that. So. Beyond that, you know, we're still got the snow forecast, and I think you all are aware, probably just like you guys, we are low on salt, trying to be very strategic with where we use it, how we use it. We've been combining the, you know, either sand or an aggregate chip with the salt, and we're still getting small deliveries throughout the state. I was told that statewide, we're getting about 2,000 to 3,000 tons a week of replenishment, but we had gotten down to about 30,000 tons for the state. And we normally go through, I would say we average, it really fluctuates based on the winter, but they said this year we're probably gonna be at about 200,000. And that's more due to the fact that we can't get any more salt. I think we would have used more salt if we could have gotten it, but this year it looks like we'll probably use about 200,000 for the entire state. So that's been a challenge, but hopefully we've been able to address the greatest safety concerns, and you just have to make choices. We try to get everything, you know, worked and plowed and that type of thing, but the salt itself we're having to really be careful with, so. And they pointed out at a meeting I was at the other day that between the middle of February and the end of March last year, we actually used 78,000 tons of salt. So we're hoping that doesn't happen again, because like I said, we were at about 30,000 for the state, but we've been getting about 2,000 to 3,000 in a week. So, but that we can't afford for 78,000 ton event to happen in March. Let's put it that way. So.
We don't want it to.
I enjoyed my beautiful weekend, and I knew it was going to be bad this week. So we do have slight chances of snow, I think, a couple of days this week, but no real accumulations. But still, it's a good thing to keep in your mind that the road still could have a dusting of snow or you know, what comes down the pike, we don't know. But just to be careful that winter is not over yet. besides that, the crews have been able to focus on, you know, trimming trees and cleaning out ditches and fixing edge ruts and things that we hadn't been able to address because of this nasty snow season. So you'll see people out on the roads, and we ask people to be careful and cautious on these curvy, hilly roads that we'll be out doing a lot of probably shoulder-type work, but we're still going to have to block a lane to be able to get access to a lot of the work we're doing right now. So I just need to keep that in mind.
Danny?
Oh, I helped in my part of crushing the windstorm we had last week. The limbs and everything blew over into our roads and into the state roads. It was a terrible mess for a while there. We had a lot of debris and stuff that's blown from fences and everything. I seen
everywhere.
I seen woven wire fences that looked like solid walls, where the leaves had just packed up again.
Yep. I went by a couple of areas where they had corn or something of that nature in the, you know, harvested, and then the wind blew, and all the fences were just covered with corn stalks.
Right. Anyway, maybe that took care of part of that problem, but I'm just like you. I hope we don't have any more big storms.
Yeah, I could really do without the winter storms until we have to worry about the spring storms. It would be nice to have a little bit of a break anyway. All right.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Like I said, I just wanted to let you guys know how impressed I was with the community. The number of people that showed up to express their concerns, and then how nice and polite and just spirited the group was. I was very impressed.
Well, I've been to lots of different organizations that's been the center of topic for a long time, because that would just be traumatic to our community to shut that bridge down.
Yeah, and they made that quite clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Previous meeting minutes. That's the only set.
Okay, so
we had executive session minutes, but this morning in prelim we went on close to give them back to Stace.
We do. Move to approve February minutes for February 18th, 2014.
Second. Motion is made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated February 18, 2014. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Road and Bridge update. Gentlemen, would you all join us? Morning, guys.
It's no small Monday.
First figure you just handed me gives us a jolt, doesn't it? If you all would state your names for the record, everyone will know who's here and who's speaking.
Randy Hayes, interim road and bridge administrator.
Barnum Collins, Supervisor, Eastern District.
Devin Huff, Supervisor, Mount Branson.
David Stahl.
Thank you, gentlemen.
First time you see under winter storm, that's basically what we had received to date, and basically what we spent in 2013 budget, and then currently what we received in 2014 on salt.
Can I get you to give those figures?
2013 total salt cost $101,238.73, And in 2014, we'd spent $140,674.64.
And there's another cost. Go ahead.
We also spent about $6,446 on additional ice control material, which is a quarter-inch aggregate that we mix with our salt.
Which, if I'm not exaggerating, we're about 46% higher already than what we spent totally in 2013.
Correct.
Pat, let me ask you for another figure that I don't see here. How many tons of salt have we used?
I didn't have that up-to-date figured. How many tons?
I know you had told me prior to that big Sunday snow that we had, we'd already used something like 2,000 tons.
Correct. We can hold approximately 1,600 totally stocked with all of our facilities. We had done used just about all of that, restocked to about, I think, 50%. Used some of that during from Sunday, and then we had a couple other storms, and now we're restocking, and I think you're about two-thirds full. You're about 70%. I'm not sure where you're at, but we got enough salt on hand to go through a fairly decent storm, but so we're not too bad of shape right now. Hopefully we won't have to order any more this year. But,
does these numbers include what the state has reimbursed us with, or...
No, this is just what we order and what we buy, and kind of what it doesn't include.
I was going to ask Beth about that.
Basically what they use or restock to us. So. Weather permitting, we should be able to start soon on the hillside here as soon as we acquire some rental equipment that we're going to need to kind of work on that steep slope. We're thinking getting a smaller type excavator to be able to put on that just above that segmented wall. And we're going to tie it off to one of our own machines, a bigger machine there to work on that slope. And then possibly a track type skid steer to be able to help move the material and whatnot to complete that. The shop building out there at Kazee Mills that we plan to use to prep some of our trucks, I need to put a heat system in the shop area. We have a system currently there that takes care of the kind of the three smaller rooms there, but I need something to heat the shop. They removed the previous type heat system, which was electric. And I'm thinking of putting in at least a propane heater of some type just to keep that workable, and I haven't done any work other. Haven't checked with anybody yet on cost. I need to find out what that main estimated cost would be to put a heater in there. The sheets I give laid in front of you, that's our proposed 2014 chip seal. That's basically, we group them out by snow routes to make it easier. These guys, currently they're started work on brush work, ditch cleaning and whatever. They've got time to try to do a little of that work on these roads. That's pretty much just a guideline we're going to use this next year to kind of keep us caught up. We can add or take away from that list depending on our road oil costs or how much prep we get done. We're going to have some additional patching. With the winter we've had so far, we're already seeing several roads evidence of quite a bit more patching going to have to take place. And a lot of those roads won't be on this list. So.
On this list that you've given us, how's this broken out? I see you've got ID numbers. Is this by area?
Basically, we've got our road system separated by surface type. Then also, to group these, we've got it basically separated out by snow route. So when they get in a particular area, each shop has so many snow routes, they pretty well can use that same format where we got them roads grouped in that area. And so that's kind of how they're divided. So when we go to an area, we can catch all them roads in that area before we move. And we're not just, if we list them alphabetically, I mean, we'd be jumping all over the county. So we kind of group them by area.
Speaking of snow route, Saturday night I was at an event and got a compliment on whatever grouping of roads that had been pending for a long time. You had come to me and we went through the map, I can't remember now, off of Reinhardt, I think. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm talking about with subdivision down in there?
Savannah Place?
Yes. That during the snow, the guys came in and they were tickled to death to have. So it was a very positive comment that was made.
Jeff Stahl.
Yeah, I haven't been here there.
And it's real nice for those big events to get positive comments, I'll tell you that. Sorry, go ahead.
That's about the easiest way for us to kind of group these, and that way when these guys are going through or sending their crews out, they can take one of these lists with them. They know that in this one particular area, we've got so many roads that we need to trim out or clean ditches on. That way they're pretty much ready to go, and then the patch crew follow that same. We'll just pick a starting point, and we'll organize that list by wherever we start and wherever we finish. Everything will be in order, so they just go down the list this year. And each process we do with the road, while you're kind of following order. That way it's prepared when the patch crew gets there, the ditch has already been cleaned, the brush is out of the way. The patch crew will go through and do their patching, whatever is needed on that. And the chip seal will in turn will follow them in the same order. The other thing, we'll map them out on the map, and then you can also find out if we've, within our system, have mistakes. We can find out because we can color code and then stick out. We've got some about 12 to 14 roads that we need to define. Either they didn't get an original date on when they were surfaced, so they didn't follow in there, but we'll correct them and add them in there. That total miles is pretty much in line with what we budgeted as far as, I think we spent a little more in that last year. I think we spent close to $700,000 on road oil, but this keeps us. That total miles kind of keeps us in line with what we budgeted if the oil for big prices come in the same.
I've got one for you. As you spoke there a while ago, and then I know that we've had several calls on roads because of the winter we've had. We're going to have an extreme amount of potholes and dig outs and probably things like that. Are there some of these roads that we have on here that's going to take more prep work than usual and maybe take distance off of or even leave a road or two out that are on there? I know there's a road, well, I see a couple of roads on here that we have taken in and chip and sealed in the last couple of years that are on this list, and I don't know whether that's because of dig outs or soft spots or what, but are you going to have to make some adjustment to this and just bring it to us?
We probably will. We get closer to spring, and everything's pretty well. We know the freeze-thaw is over with, where we can get a good handle. We are going to have quite a bit of additional patching, and we're already seeing quite a bit of signs of that. I think David's already done more dig-outs. And the problem with doing them this time of year, we're actually, with the road trying to thaw out, we're trying to get the bad spots, we're actually creating a few more with the trucks running on.
Right, right.
And which will take extra work, so.
So probably some of those we, as you look them over, and I know one time you had Tommy maybe driving and looking some of those over, we'll make, you meet with the commission, just make some adjustments on some of those.
Right, we'll. I think closer to start time with chip seal, we can have more of a defined list. We'll have a better handle on what we're going to have to patch as far as what we think we can handle this year.
Ahead at your surveys?
This next item on surveys, I've got three roads right now. One of them, we need to try to get a turnaround. That one is Mission Vincy Lane. Down at the very end of it, I need to work with the landowner to try to create some type of turnaround, which will turn, we'll need to survey out. We're having difficulty trying to get turned around. We've got this part of the road fixed up and kind of straightened out where it used to have a problem of encroaching on a property. We corrected that, but we need to create a turnaround here at the end, which would be in that area up there.
I'm curious as to why that didn't go all the way up to the end of this little.
Actually, the road stops right there. There's a, this here is, the landowner here is platted, but he owns that portion out there. Our road actually stops. You see a little bit of a yellow line right there. We stop right there.
Does this landowner own these two lots?
No, I think they may be related, but I don't think he owns that.
Because in order to put a cul-de-sac, you're going to have to cut into these lots, right?
We're going to work with homeowner here, I think he'll be a candidate to allow us to turn around.
This guy owns this, and then there's another owner that owns just a 50-foot easement back to this big farm.
So somewhere in this area, I was thinking working with him, see what would work out to try to get some kind of a turnaround.
Talk that way back. Where's the four-way stop at?
Well, this is Virgil's, this little piece right here. This is one for
the red line.
Yeah.
And then this little narrow spot is Don Dixon. He kept that in case they ever developed this. He would sell easement to the back of it.
I see. So it is on the Frito Eddie road.
Yeah, they're living up in here.
Yeah, but I mean, I was trying to locate the road.
The only two we should have been involved would be this piece of property and then that narrow strip. Unless you want to go over here.
Is this dedicated or is it actually owned by this property owner?
It's not owned by this property owner. The guy that has this narrow easement used to have all this.
Okay.
He sold it off and he kept that.
It shows
and did,
up.
And did not dedicate it as
right.
a road.
It shows up under private ownership.
Gotcha. So he's paying taxes on that strip.
May have to have a visit with him and visit and see what we might be able to do there.
Right. Another one I need to do is to be able to do some work on the road, just locating part of the right-of-way is on Wild Rose. That's a new road. The homeowner's taking care of the turnaround and all that. The turnaround we're good on. It's the road leading from J Highway up to that point. I'd like to stake one side anyway just to find out where that right-of-way, because the road isn't perfectly straight.
That way, when we do work on it, we can center it in the beginning. And
I do know where 2 points are, but I need to locate some more, and so doing a survey on one side, just enough to locate part of the right-of-way where we are. Where we know what the right-of-way width is. We just like to locate it on the ground out there. The other one is a question on what the county had actually taken in previously, and I have the actual petition, and it shows two different plats, or a couple of different plats in here. One is this plat, and then the other is this plat right here, which this is the original, but it really doesn't say where it stops. And on the road itself, which is here, this being the original, and then it has a loop here, is I need to know where this part actually is supposed to stop, because that's the part's kind of questionable. Right now we're maintaining this and around the loop, but we actually just go back to a house, but it's finding out where is this actually supposed to stop.
Do you have dates on maybe a possible replat or something?
Well, that's got a date there. 88 is when that was done.
No, 86.
86.
Page 88.
Well, that was... What's that date? Is this a second?
This also says 86 right here. They have 86 here.
And this one, I don't know if that's got a date on it.
Is that up in the quarry area there, or was
this,
it?
That was filed in
79.
Do I? This is located Clayton Road, which is in the Mildred area.
So you can't tell from this description?
Well, I can measure it in, but to find a... This shows a lot narrower right-of-way than what's existing going in on the road. It appears to be 50 foot coming in when the original was 30, and I don't know if it's been redone since that time.
Any utility problems on the way that the widest part of it is?
I'm just trying to find out where should we be ending our maintenance on this section of it.
It says also a road 50 foot in width, as per the plat of Turbyville Heights, recorded plat book 21, page 88. That's right here. Length of road being 953.57 feet, 30 feet in width, 677.17 feet, 50 feet in width, for a total length of 1630.74 feet. That's this description, isn't it?
That's what I need to know. See, the roads have never, nothing's been done beyond this corner here. as an intention when I took it in, or was it supposed to extend out here, and then this was a later piece that was taken in at a later date? I'm not sure.
Where's Kirbyville Heights at? I mean, I'm kind of confused.
When you go past Delaware or Jennings Corner, and you're going towards Dana's.
That little short road there.
It's just before the welding shop turns in there on the left, and it goes in there and makes a loop. That's
what we're talking about. Have you ever talked to those landowners?
No. What started it? We were out there doing some work, establishing the ditch line, and the lady came out and was pretty adamant that we went on up in there. And that's when I looked it up on Art Map and got with Randy on it, because she was claiming it went quite a ways up in there.
She thought that the road should go on further than what you were maintaining.
Right. See, nothing's ever been down there. That's the reason I don't know why it hadn't been in the past if it's supposed to be.
Well, if we show it here, is what I'm saying is to resolve the issue is probably go talk to her, see if she'd be willing to go ahead and do the other 10 feet, because I understand it's 40 and a 50. And if she'll do the other 10 feet up in there, we'll maybe made her greater maintain it for a while or something.
Right now we've been mowing up in there to the end of the pavement, and she's really wanting us to do further, so that's why I brought it up again.
And I think that's probably the best way to try to resolve it, is if you've got 40 so far up and 50 so far up, we'll see if we can get that other 10 and grade it and sew it down, and then if the other part of it is
do you remember
chip and seal?
Yes, part of it is.
Well, I know that Sly's in Scott Township. Right? Yes. All the people who signed it live in Swan Township. And the recommendation of the engineer was to not accept it. So I'm just wondering when
it got accepted. And that was in 1986.
In 1991, we need to take a look at this.
Well, let's just say lay it aside and do some work.
There's some on it.
A guy named Junior was the presiding one.
Yeah.
Okay. We jump down the list to another one. I have no problem with what we've taken in. It was over a period of years, you can see that. The issue I've got is, did get the required cul-de-sac and turnaround, but it was never built. The part the county has taken in, and it's described in the description and everything, which is a problem to hear, and that point is this was never built.
The cul-de-sac?
The cul-de-sac was never built. They're turning around actually right there.
Was that part of the stipulations?
It took several years.
This has got a long history, doesn't it?
It's got a long history.
Denials.
And this has changed hands, property owner, so I need to talk to them to find out if this is still doable or do we need to move that turnaround.
Say what your question is again. I'm sorry, Randy.
Here on this, I need to talk to this homeowner, see if this is still doable, because this was taken into a cul-de-sac as described in there. But it was never built. For what reason, I don't know. But
well, it may be described. Was it ever dedicated? I don't see that.
Well, as part of the easement, it was recorded as part of an easement for the...
The cul-de-sac was.
Cul-de-sac, yes.
Okay. Danny or Brandon, if we've got the right-of-way to build that, is there any objection to putting that cul-de-sac in?
Who was supposed to build it?
Well, right now I can't find anything that speaks to that.
Well, if we've got the appropriate footage as far as the cul-de-sac, I don't have a problem with building it. I'd rather have something like that as having a safety issue where somebody backs up into a ditch, does a bunch of damage, backs into somebody, or even backs into a car or a pedestrian. So I would rather go ahead and have it done.
Now, I do know the property had changed hands since that was all done, taken in, and I don't know if it's...
Let me read this comment from back in 03. It says, checking the right-of-way, we find that the property owner's deed show right-of-way being deeded off the property. But nowhere can we find an easement to the public. This should not be hard to get done, as the assessor's office is showing one party being taxed for it. Everything else is still the same.
And I think that has since changed.
That was back in 03. This is, no. Show that we have the right to build there. If the easement's there, it's dedicated properly. I don't have any objection at all to doing what needs to be done. I can't find anything in that.
Where's it located?
This is hanging over there. I do know we do have an easement into there and that, but...
Well, if you can see somebody up there where we get an easement to put it in, well, this property owner, that'd be to their advantage, it'd be... Right.
Yeah.
Right. See, and this has been flip-flopped back and forth. And the bitterness between this and this.
Oh.
Wow.
Is there any objections to this property owner to do that? Do we know?
No, no, no. That's, I need to go talk to him.
That's what I do.
I wanted to bring this up for you, Thor, let you know that I need to go talk to him, find out. Or if he doesn't want it there and he's willing to donate the right-of-way necessary to turn around at a different location, are you feeling okay with that?
Yeah, what I'm saying is this piece of property right now is being used for farm use.
Right.
And if he just needs to a cul-de-sac big enough, he needs a trailer in there to maybe get to a corral, a barn, or whatever's there.
I need to work with him.
My suggestion is to ask what his brothers are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
This caused all the problem. Let him do the solution right here. Because it's his.
Okay.
You understand what I said there?
Okay.
Ron, on this one, I didn't ever understand what you said. About him being in different townships.
Okay. It's in Scott Township.
You think that's in Scott
Township? I don't know if Scott Township.
Yeah, but this is so far. This is a. Over at MM.
But it's the line is
Delaware.
The line is where Johnny Glenn's old subdivision was.
And this is just south of that.
Just this would be south and east. It'd be more east of that.
Yeah, it'd be east.
So yeah.
This is east of where Johnny was?
Yeah,
this
is east.
It's Swan.
Right.
So it fell on the other side?
No. No, it's in that Delaware Township road is one of the, used to be, and then they changed it, in the 10-year sentence.
It'd be nice to find where it was approved, though.
Yeah.
Might find some stipulations in there.
Right.
Or some description of.
Go talk.
I'd have to go back. I might be able to just research the commission minutes, if that would tell anything.
It would certainly pinpoint where we could go look because documents.
Let me do some research on that.
I knew the township had me a little confused, but that's.
Regarding surveys, let me ask you a question while we're still on that. The big to do down off of T Highway that we had a presentation, it was either last year or year before, regarding that. Veterans Complex. Has there been any more said about that? Or
no? I haven't heard any.
Because I know at the time they were talking about whether or not to do surveys. And
right.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, I haven't heard any more. Anything more about that one. Next time on equipment pickups, I'd like to be able to purchase 5 vehicles on MoDOT bid, 4 pickups, 3 of them being half tons, 1 of them a 3/4, and then a 1-ton vehicle. The 3 half tons is replacing we're going to sell that number of vehicles possibly this fall. But I need to move Harlan's rig on down into the workforce, put him in a different rig. Same thing with David's. He's got higher miles, but mechanically it's better than some other vehicles we've got that we probably have to get rid of. So.
What I would ask you to do is bring us an individual pricing on those so that we could use it. Might be able to use it as we went to those commission meetings and things. We had different companies approach us that do those kind of things for governmental entities. So if you had some idea of I would say the 3/4 tons, you've got a estimated cost on it, but on the others individually so that they could price them. Maybe we could put them on that government list and get more money for them. They guarantee they can get more money for them than we can sell them.
As far as getting rid of the older ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, were you planning on getting rid of some of the older ones and moving the others down the line?
Yeah.
That's what we need then. We need just to...
Well, not just that. Don't you have some other equipment, Randy, that you were thinking about for the... at some time disposing of?
Well, I've got some additional equipment.
You said there's some equipment that we don't hardly ever use.
Well, I've got an old distributor that... and we're going to have a trailer once we get the tank off of it that we need to sell, get rid of, and probably another piece of equipment. I need to replace a roller at some point in time, but that'll probably be next year. But these pickups, I thought, you know, if we have a county auction, we'd get rid of them pickups at a county auction. Everybody's looking for, we get quizzed every once in a while if we're going to have any.
Right.
But he's always looking for an old farm truck.
And I have no problem with that as far as those, but the ones that would be good enough that we may want to put in a sale or have the opportunity to sell before the, as we move them up and down the line as needed. Because we had some pretty impressive numbers of estimated values on equipment from these different companies. I mean, it's just not one. There's a lot of people in that business
yep.
now.
That's and selling equipment?
They're selling it. They take government equipment and sell it. And then they usually start off with an estimated price.
They sell it nationally.
And they sell it nationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with what I budgeted, what we budgeted and you guys approved, I'll bring you
a list.
Exact cost list of what I need to do, but also we can do on MoDOT bids, the only place I've been able to find one of them because there's no dealer currently, and that's the tow paver I need to replace. And I do have what it will cost, and that's on off of your purchase in there with MoDOT bid. But they're selling them factory direct right now, the place that builds them, because they don't sell that many of them. But
Danny, do you have any concern if he does his due diligence and looks at the different prices out there to go ahead and purchase these vehicles?
No, I don't have
if
it.
If we can do
no,
it through central purchasing, that's...
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not trying to get rid of this. I'm just giving you recommendations from what we got from the commission meetings and from the MAC conferences.
Okay.
It's not. I'm not trying to say for you to do it one way or the other. I'm just saying that those things are optional now.
Okay. Here's a. That's what I'm looking at for road and bridge, and then of course we were at the same time we're doing that. We have one at the coroner. We've got that vehicle, and also animal control, which you guys mentioned. I don't know if you guys, for commission, are wanting to replace or I mean, there's through MoDOT bid you can get pretty much what you want as far as the vehicle. From
if we get
car
those,
all the way up to
right, if we get these prices, and that's the reason I asked for those. If you
okay.
get those prices, then we can look at the need in the different locations. Animal control was one that was mentioned.
Right,
there was
okay.
others mentioned. Then we can decide whether we want to go ahead and purchase new off of a new bid, or whether we might be able to use one of those vehicles in one of those positions.
Okay.
You understand what I'm reason I'm wanting, and that way we've got a price scale that we can look at and say a new vehicle is going to cost us $5,000 to $10,000 more than this vehicle here, but it's got so many miles on it and it's still a good rig and everything. Or
okay.
you know,
I'll bring you each individual. The one particular rig that I'm replacing with the sign vehicle, though, is a one-ton. I know what the vehicle and the utility body would cost to go on it. The one item that is questionable that we would have to bid out is a compressor that would need to go in the vehicle, but that would have to bid out separately. But the vehicle itself, I can get to you pretty definite.
Now, is awesome it, each one of them, it's been purchased since I've been here, and it's a... Is the compressor still good and everything on it, or has it still got it?
It's incorporated in it to where I can't take it off that vehicle and
okay,
put it on.
That's what made
that one more difficult. And I don't want to utilize that because he doesn't like using it because of the way you have to operate the.
Now, something like that would be perfect for. One
now
of these, and I don't have any of the cards.
That one I'd like to put a bevel on a list and get
put it
a better
on a list
broad
and
market
sell it because they get a lot of use out of it, especially where they don't have any rock, you know, much rock
right.
to contend with. And we've had rock to contend with every time
right.
a sign goes down. We've got to cut a hole. So
okay. I'll bring you up. I'll bring you a list of that because I can put that together.
One of the past presidents of NACO has one of those companies. He was out of Scottsdale area.
Yeah.
But it's a big company.
I was going to ask you on those, how many vehicles do we have? We're talking about this, and I understand this one. How many vehicles or compressors do we have that can be used throughout the county? We don't need one forever. Shop, but it can be used to drill up to a 4-inch hole or a 3-inch hole. Aren't those square sleeves that go down in those?
Yeah, basically we just use a regular rock drill that we could use our towable compressor. The problem with it would be it'd be hard for him to maneuver if he's got a, you can maneuver it behind a pickup. You put it behind the tongue truck where you've got that box on there, it'd be hard, difficult for him to see to try to get maneuvered around, so it's easier with a compressor in the rig. We have rock drills. I think David's got a compressor with rock drills. Harlan's got one. We can share that if we have to drill holes, particularly, you know, just for that purpose. But this particular, that's basically what he does is he just maintains the signs, and as he's going around, he's got all that with him, so if he runs
right.
across one, he can take care of it and not be...
That's what I noticed, you know, you may see him in three or four different locations.
Right.
If you're driving around, he's putting a signpost in, and he doesn't need to be switching vehicles. And
well, he packs quite a bit of material with him, so he can, he's not constantly... running back to the shop, acquiring materials, whatever.
Yeah.
He carries enough that he thinks he'll use that day, which works out fairly well. Okay. Take care of that one. I would like to bid out, and we have our own specs for this, two more dump trucks for this year. And I'm going to try to update our specs that we can put out there, but I need to get them put out sometime fairly soon so we can have them before the, possibly before the end of the year anyway, late summer, early fall.
We need to have you guys come in with recommendations on some of those that we've had trouble with, because buying new trucks and then having them in a shop for the first year more than they're on the road is going to come to a stop as far as bidding those. They're allowed to turn in a bid, but they have to know that we're dissatisfied with some of that nonsense, especially. Always happens when you're needed the worst, you know.
And that, yeah, we've had some issues. The next, let me dig that out here. Thought it was right here. With all the snowstorms and whatnot, we've had 20-some-odd people that have accumulated comp time that... were you guys allowing us through the end of March to be able to use that comp time that's above 80 back down? Do you need a...
Why don't we increase that and move it on up to, move it up a month at least, or is that rec?
Well,
that
I'd,
better, or do you think...
I'd like to at least allow them to the end of April, maybe not beyond that if we don't get any more storms. That should be ample enough time, and then if they get it down by then, of course, we're going to start, patching will start in May, so I'd kind of like to get it, have them get it used up before May anyway.
Well, so let me kind
that'll
of
give them a little more
here.
Time.
You got different dates that I mean that you. I understand what you're saying. We got to work to try to do the patching and dig outs in a bad winter. Is that going to give you enough time?
Well, if no more, if we don't have very many more storms, I think that'll give them ample enough time to get it back. Well, down to the 80-hour limit.
Yeah, but here's the deal. We're February now.
We're in February.
And it's just absolutely going to be pretty pressing that if you try to get it any less time, then what do you think, Harlan? You think?
I wouldn't care to run through May. I'd like to take it off earlier, but that would give them an option of stretching it out as long as it didn't interfere. I don't see a problem.
My thoughts were the 1st of May, but I don't, because at that part we've already got some hot weather. Last year we had snow, so you don't know what to do, but let's say it like this. I'm not again extending it, the comp time out, because you're going to have, who knows what we're going to have from now till the end of the year. So
next week
doesn't look very good, and you know what these guys are asking for now?
Yes.
The extension of their comp time?
Yes.
What's your thoughts on it? Let them...
Where you jump?
I know you asked me because you know that's the way to...
That was fast.
You're going to hit the wall doing that.
Me too, Danny? Me too, Danny?
Us two, Danny.
I'm glad your boys are starting to see it my way. And,
you the man, boss.
But I know we're going to end up with a great big problem whenever it gets up close to chip and seal time. We've got a bunch of people with time off, vacations.
I don't have any problem with it. Do we need to do that formally? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Do we need to vote, or do we just need to go?
We already extended it once, didn't we?
Yes.
What did we extend it
to? March.
We were extended into
the end of March.
End of March.
Let's see if we can get done.
Randy left. He's just now getting back.
So what's I say? If we need to extend it again, we can extend it again.
All right.
Is that all right with you guys? Dave, is that all right with you?
Let's do the 1st of May, and then give them all an opportunity to do so, and then there's going to be health issues sometimes.
David, is that going to work?
Yeah, I'm with it. It's good.
You don't have any scouting?
Most of you, I think it just involves one. He's only got 9 hours. It really doesn't affect his shot much at all.
Is that due to management abilities?
Huh?
What does it say about you, huh?
Gentlemen, I would accept a motion to extend this for R&B until May 1st.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Next item. Time change is coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks.
March 9th,
which is still, if we go to 10-hour days, still going to be dark in the morning. I'd like to be able to change of schedule, but later, closer to the end of March, maybe 1st April, be able to go back to 10 hours if you gentlemen are okay with that. Or
I always heard it makes sense because, again, I need to hear from you guys.
I was going to basically run the same schedule as we've done previous. I would have one shop, so I have the full week covered Monday through Friday.
Randy, are you asking to, at that time, make the decision as to whether or not to go back to 5 or 4 tens to be moved from 1st of March to 1st of April? Is that what you're suggesting? Did I hear? Did I misunderstand you?
I was about the first of April, go to a 4-10 schedule when I know there's enough daylight at the start time. So 6:30 to 5 is normally what we work on a 4-10 schedule.
It's not going to mess up on a turkey hunting and stuff like that. Now, we don't want boys out there with that extra day of turkey hunting. Maybe might kill a big gobbler that I'd want to kill.
Priorities.
That schedule's worked great the way, I mean, I only had to cover maybe two different tree calls on a Friday for one of these guys. I don't know what they have.
What do you do? What do you do on those days, though? Do you mainly cover the day that's not covered? You got 2 days that's not covered by the full county time. Do you do dig outs?
We just carry on our normal
trim, tree trimming, and you do the regular thing. But what if, I mean, if there's something comes up that you got to do?
We will go and take care of that. And if I need additional, which I think one time I had to call in some more help, but otherwise we've been covering it.
Yeah. And you think it's been working fine, David, on your end?
Yes, and what he's saying, on a Friday, if I have an emergency call, they have to go take care of it.
Yeah.
And if it's a Monday, Harlan or I have to go take care of something on his day.
Okay.
Works well. It covers everything all 5 days. Yeah.
Otherwise, we continue on patching up whatever we were doing at that time.
But we're going to do April, is that what you're saying?
April, 1st of April is when I wanted to switch back to 4-10 schedule. That would allow enough to be enough daylight hours that start time it ain't dark outside, the sun should be up.
Okay, I only got one question, and it doesn't. This deal here doesn't make me a bit of difference because of the year that we've had. Is the amount of snow, ice, cold weather, breaking up of the roads, are we going to need, and the amount of comp time that's been used, are we going to need to have it the month? Time-wise, are we going to need the month, or can we get by? I mean, that's my main interest, is covering the public's part of it. If we've got to have dig outs and start, well, that's my only interest in the whole thing. So is that
you're asking if we'll get that part done before the first?
What I'm asking is we've already made an extension this morning to give people more time off on the comp time. Now here we go cutting the days. That's where I'm at. Is it feasible?
You'll get more done in those 4 10-hour days than you do the 5 8-hour days. When you set up to go out to do dig outs, that's one less day you have to reset signs and everything like that. I don't know if that's the question you've got. But
that's the question I've got, is taking care of the public.
We're doing those 4 days.
Right.
We're doing dig outs than we will on 8-hour days, just for the fact of setting signs up every morning, every night.
Well, right now, if we move ahead as suggested by Randy, we'll be doing that on April 1st. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, around the
first. This isn't a trick, is it?
You're right.
It's not going to be a trick, is it?
I hope not, no.
Okay.
Well, this should be March 31st. That's the Monday, March 31st.
March 31st falls on a Monday.
I'm kind of ready Monday the 3rd of March, but...
Do you have a calendar to see what day?
It says 31st on a Monday, right?
When's the time change?
That's what Brandon bought.
Oh, the 9th.
The 9th is a time change?
2 weeks from now.
What did you just say, David, that you're ready to do it on the 3rd?
Yeah, next week.
Is there enough light, though?
Not starting at 6:30, no, sir. Well, you got to remember, 6:30 is when you start giving out orders, and then you fill out the fuel trucks up and get to the job site. So it's a workable situation.
Ordinarily, what I would say is I'd let Randy just make the decision himself, but the fact that we have had such a bad winter, you know, as far as everything that we do, I mean, we've got extra time with salt and extra time with loaders and all this kind of stuff and all the extra comp time. So that's the reason I said, like, I'm...
It will affect it somewhat. We got a lot of time to get this used down, or we may end up having to pay them for them.
That's where I'm at.
They got to have the people showing up to get the work done, and they've got to get this used stuff before we get... That's the reason I didn't want to extend it into May when we're patching, because we need to get a lot of patching done within the month of May.
Let me ask you something else that falls into that deal is the comp time, the chip seal time, and now we're talking about the daytime. And now the other thing that I'm considering is you're going to have more people or more temps, because the other day, as I think I was visiting with you about the number of people that had either left or changed positions or was needed. I forget how that, maybe all three was discussed, that we would maybe need 4 or 5 temps, or maybe a couple, three full times.
I know back we discussed during budget time, I was anticipating sometime in April working, utilize them for at least 6 months out of the year, adding 4 temps. Starting with 4 temps possible.
But is there going
to... I don't know who we've got that may be looking at retirement. I don't know.
Right. Is there any need for those people to be in? We have to be real close here, because we'll have to go into executive session, but what I'm saying is there any need for full-timers?
Can we go into executive?
No.
Now?
No. We're not posted.
Not posted.
No.
We need to, for long rounds, we'll take you on
Right. Right. And those are the things I'm talking about. We got 4 or 5 issues that deals from the first day of March till the first day of May that need to be addressed, and we need to be addressed the whole thing considered. So
that's going to have a bearing on some of mine.
Right, I know that. Now, well, are you looking at... Now, I think this other thing has worked out great as far as the putting the temps on and checking them out and making sure that they get the job done, or if they have difficulty in certain areas, having choices, I guess, to make. I think the Tim deal works out great on that. But we've got a deal, a situation here with the weather. But there's about four things that enter into this conversation before it's all over to make sure we get the right number of road and bridge employees.
I was going to mention, too, by the way, at the CLEO meeting, Council of Local Elected Officials, we met at the same time as the WIB, Workforce Investment Board. And there is another program, Randy, apparently a bigger program, and there's going to be an individual getting hold of me, and I can't find his name or his card here, because I told him I might be interested and I wanted him to come down to another program where they'll pay. But it's expanded. They can do more than they could do before. The employees.
But does that have, it didn't tie it into any kind of disaster or flooding or?
If it is, he didn't say so. And it didn't sound like that it was.
Several years
ago. So that one kind of limited us. Right. With the last group, I could only have them do certain things, but it had to tie into flooded related.
And then they could be hired on later after you worked them for a certain period of time on a grant. That's the way that thing
well,
works.
Well, yeah, we'd have to let them go for a period and then we could hire. But we get a chance to look at them.
Right, you get a chance to look at them. And so let's, do we need to call another one of these maybe next week and have all these thoughts in mind and make a decision then? Randolph?
What do you think? Just have our liaison do this, Brandon?
I think we need to leave it up to those four gentlemen there, because they're the ones that know what they need.
I agree with you, other than we need to know what the budget
will hold.
As far as, you're talking about the additional employees and that kind of thing?
Additional employees.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about what's on the little list
comp
here.
Comp time versus the payoff. If we get into a situation where we have to pay a bunch of people instead of letting them use the comp time, we'll be out of money in the budget.
I think that's where you need to go to the supervisors and say, hey, get them to use their hours and get it done.
Yeah.
So get it done, and then we don't have to worry about it. What's the next question?
He's cruel hearted.
I'm cruel. I've been sitting here for 40 minutes listening to this. I'm kind of done.
I know, but I was kind of, I count that it was entertainment too.
Oh, I got one more.
No.
Where'd my list go? There it is. We need to possibly, talk with David on this. I need to bid out a new road tractor for a transfer station, which is going to help us because it will have to tie up one of his right during the busy part of the year. We've got $400,000 on 1 mile.
Is there any objection to moving forward with this, Dan, Brandon?
Nope.
Do it.
Okay. I just need, I mean, that'll be to get out to purchase and whatnot. But I think the budget will take care of that fairly easy. But I'll bring, we'll possibly have a meeting. I can bring you back an estimate cost so we kind of know what we might be looking at cost-wise.
This is the, when you're talking about that road tractor, has it got, other than the bucket itself, has it got other uses, or are you talking about a backhoe?
Actually, I'm talking about over the road truck, full trash train.
Oh, the old road truck. Tractor. Yeah. I'm sorry. We're going to have a recess here because I think I'm going to have to get things lined out over here to my right.
Stacy, straighten up.
He's basically already switched machines in there, and I don't think we had to bid out. I think we got that figured out to foam the tires. We didn't have to bid it out, right? But he's already switched machines in there. So I think that'll get it by some time for a while. We won't have to do anything there. You guys weren't scheduled for any exec session today, right?
Yeah.
Not until this afternoon.
Okay.
Is that something you would like to come back for?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. Do you guys have you four meetings ever?
Do I?
Do you four ever have meetings together?
Yes.
Every Tuesday, isn't it?
Generally, if it works out once a week, but definitely once every 2 weeks. And now that we're getting busy, it's going to be once a week. And generally, us four, or if I think necessary, I'll bring the crew chiefs along with them, and we'll all have a meeting. So.
Okay. So there's a lot of communication between you guys. I'm just, so the hours of operation stuff, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not here to micromanage, so I don't care. As long as it's running smoothly within budget and transfer station's doing what it's supposed to do and the roads are fine. And you need to come to us, I guess, and ask for certain things. But stuff like that, I don't have a problem with you guys making a decision based upon your needs. They might have different things. But.
Well, I'll just keep you up to speed with different changes. Go to spend a good few dollars. You guys kind of want a heads up.
I guess I'm talking about like hours of operation, the I mean those types of smaller things that doesn't cost, you know.
Okay. What else have you got, Mr. Randy?
That's all I had. I don't know if these guys had anything, but they're more. I'm done with my part.
I don't. I'm good.
Carl?
Last Thursday, could we speak in an executive?
And today.
But we're not scheduled for exec until like 1 o'clock.
Later.
Although, if you want it on Thursday, we can.
That would be good if you all are available, because I'll know a little more by Thursday. And then I think there'll be requests.
I'm available.
Okay.
Check with Shanna, and after we finish today with our exec, we'll pick a time. And, okay? Now, for you and what you want to chat about, is this going to be personnel? Will it be litigation? Will it be property?
Personnel.
Okay. Got you down.
Mine's personnel, but I'll be back.
You'll be here this afternoon?
This afternoon.
Okay. We'll start with you then at 1, if that's all right.
Okay. That'll give me time to go take care of what I need to and be back.
Anything else, guys? Brandon, Danny, anything else of these gentlemen?
Nope.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We are.
I've called him and got that straightened out. I need to get with you and talk to you about what we need to do down there just for some pest control. Maybe we'll ask him. We need anything. Take me, bring me some pictures. Paper, video.
Okay.
Before you're doing that, I'm going to go there and get that out of the phone. On that road, isn't it? Jenny, I can't wait.
Upstairs,
we've got that set for tonight.
Come
up again,
this week.
One we did for
other. But I put you down here, so we'll.
Oh, go
really.
Yeah.
I'll get the one.
But whenever you do, get the other, some other time, get the other one. I've got to get that other one addressed from the news media. They're just wearing it out.
Let us stand in recess until 11 o'clock. If I'm not mistaken, we have a roundtable with environmental services people that work throughout the courthouse, and we'll chat with them upstairs in the conference room.